Welcome to the St. Luke's Lubbock Sermon Podcast. Enjoy this sermon by Pastor Matt Wolfington.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Way LBK.
Lord, there are people struggling with their faith because of the circumstances of life. Father, there are people celebrating their faith because of the circumstances of their life. Lord, and so as it is with all of us, Lord, we're just looking for you. Father, we're trying to figure out this journey of faith that we have with you each and every day. Father, some of us are questioning that, and some of us are just fully committed. Lord, and regardless, you meet us in that place. And Lord, and as you do meet us, Lord, I pray that we would feel your presence. Lord, we would see those signs and those wonders. Lord, we would hear that still small voice or that booming voice. Lord, whatever it might be. And regardless of our age, Lord, you speak and you lead every one of us if we will just chase after you, if we will just trust in you. And so, Lord, answer today. Lord, answer. We're begging you, Lord, to answer today. Lord, and we just make our prayer in the powerful, the matchless, the name that is above all names, Jesus Christ. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Let's pray for that. Lord God, thank you that we have the opportunity to be in ministry with you. Lord, and while some of us, we think that all we have to do is volunteer, that is partly true, but we also have to give. Lord, you command it, you ask for it, you instruct it, you illustrate it, you show us, you model it, Lord. And some of us think all we have to do is give, and yet we don't have to volunteer. That is not true either, Lord. The same. You model it. You illustrate it to us. You command it. And so, Lord, I pray that as we give today, Lord, or maybe we're giving for the first time, Father, that we would look to you and we would ask you how we're supposed to do that and what we're supposed to do. And then, Lord, take all that is given, Lord, that we are entrusting to you, and, Lord, that you would multiply it, and, Lord, that you would use it to really further your kingdom, not just here, but, Father, in the community. Father, maybe even in other families of faith, other churches, other places. Lord, let it be so in the name of Christ. Amen. I want y'all to know how things work around here. Dallas just put my timer in front of me so I don't forget how much time that I have. So thanks, Dallas. I don't ever pay attention to that, so I don't know why he keeps putting it in front of me. So today I just want to talk about this idea of being thankful, but in the struggle of being thankful, right? And when we're going through life, when we're going through issues, when things are good, right? There's a struggle because maybe we're juggling all the blessings. Maybe we're juggling time. Maybe we're juggling family. We're juggling events. We're juggling whatever, right? And so there's always some struggle, whether it's a positive struggle or a negative struggle. And we all go through that at some point. And so I think to say that we don't struggle is just purely a lie, because we all do in some form or fashion. Even our children do, right? Struggling the time that it takes to do homework, family time, and extracurricular activities, and church, and worship, and student ministry, and whatever it might be. So I want to talk about that today, and how in the struggle there can be persuasion. And that persuasion is where God meets us in the middle of that struggle, and then we have a choice to make. And if you want the notes today, you can get those. I'm going to try to get our trusty computer person back there to keep up with me, because I couldn't carry my iPad and all of that. But when you hear this passage of Scripture today, some of you have heard of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. There was a persuasion in the struggle that they experienced in the Old Testament. Now, I'm not going to read the whole thing to you. I just want to get to it and give you the crux of it. So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were under the rule of a king in Egypt. And as they went out to do what the king said, all of you have to bow down to me, basically. There was a decree and all these things. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were believers in the one true God, and they said, we're not going to bow down to any other idol or any other king other than God. And when they didn't, there were consequences for that. The consequences were they were going to be thrown into a pit of fire, okay? Some translations say a furnace of fire. Doesn't matter. They're getting burned, all right? And so this is what was going to happen to them. And so when we get to this idea of this idea of persuasion in Daniel 3, one thing is apparent. They were fully persuaded. In the midst of a negative struggle, right? I mean, if you have a choice of bowing down to something and just giving in to peer pressure or getting thrown in a fire, I'm pretty sure, I mean, I'm not being judgmental here, but most of us are going to choose the peer pressure. Somebody say amen so I don't feel just totally alone. Okay, and so when we hear that, what is it to be fully convicted? What is it to be fully persuaded? How do we get to that place? Now, maybe here's where I am in my personal journey of faith. When it comes to peer pressure and getting thrown into a fire, I'm going to choose the peer pressure. When it comes to choosing God or thrown into a fire, I think I'm going to have the faith to choose God. Now somebody say amen with me. I think. Right? And you're like, aren't you supposed to know? Well, do you? I mean, in my heart of hearts, I know. And we could go through all the scenarios, and I'm going to say, I know, I just want to have the faith in the moment. Because we don't know until we get there, but I'm going to say that I'm going to have the faith. Because of the experience of life and faith up to this point. So let's go to our passage of Scripture. First of all, I want to tell you this. The promise that you're going to hear today comes out of 2 Corinthians, right? That you're not going to hear the exact words in Daniel, but the 2 Corinthians passage says this. 2 Corinthians 1:20, there is a slide for this. It says, for no matter how many promises God has made, they are all yes in Christ. And so through him, the amen is spoken to us by the glory of God. Okay, and so the yes that we have and all the promises God makes, that even though you have to go through the fire, you're not going to be burned. Even though you have to submit yourself to God, there is going to be eternal life. Even though that the first shall become last and the last shall become first, there is eternal life in God. All those promises become yes in Jesus. Always. Now somebody will argue with you, well, the yes comes at your death when you go to heaven? Maybe. But I also think that the yes comes way before them in our faithfulness and God's faithfulness to us. And so when we're pushed and we hear this struggle with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, I want you to hear this passage of Scripture. So if you'll put the Scripture up on the screen and we'll go from there. I'll read it from back here. There we go. Then Nebuchadnezzar was filled with wrath, right? They did not bow down. And his servants pointed him out. Hey, the three guys over there aren't bowing down. And his facial expression was changed towards Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He answered by giving orders to heat the furnace 7 times more than it was usually heated. I don't know how you get fire hotter than fire, but he did 7 times. And when he ordered certain valiant warriors who his army to tie up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in order to throw them into the furnace of blazing fire, then these men were tied up in their trousers, their coats, their caps, and with their other clothes. You know why they said that? Because there was more to burn. And their other clothes, they were thrown into the middle of the furnace of blazing fire. For this reason, because the king's command was harsh and the furnace had been made extremely hot, the flame of the fire kill those men who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. It wasn't supposed to be that way. You know, hey, I'll volunteer to throw the slackers into the fire. Well, the volunteers got burned up. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, but these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, oh, you jumped ahead. I don't know where I was. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego fell into the middle of the furnace, right, that had been made extremely hot, of blazing, and they were still tied up. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astounded and stood up quickly and said to the counselors, was it not these three men, right? Was it not these three guys that didn't bow down that we threw bound into the middle of the fire? And they replied to the king, absolutely, king. I mean, they're scared now. They're like, no, it's the guy. We threw them in. He responded, look, I see 4 men untied and walking around in the middle of the fire unharmed. And the appearance of The fourth is like a son of the gods. See, they threw three in, and then when Nebuchadnezzar realized that these three guys were in there, he's like, now wait a minute, we threw three in, how come there are four? And the fourth was so bright, outshined the fire, right? Outshined the three guys, outshined everything that was going on, looked like something that he had never seen before. And you notice that he didn't say a son of God, big G, he said like a son of the gods, little g, because Nebuchadnezzar didn't know. He didn't understand. He didn't really know yet what he didn't know. But yet he's about to. See, I think when life pushes us really far, when life gets us to this place where it's a choice between whatever it is and the fire, that's when we have to make these choices. We have to figure out if we're fully persuaded or not. And here's what I hope for you, and what I hope for me, is that the circumstances of life, the prayers that have been answered throughout life, the way we have seen God move in at least other people's lives, if not your own, will, when the time comes, allow you to make those choices. Where it's not an easy choice, but it's a simple choice. Right, where you know you're gonna decide to follow God. You don't know how easy the path will be, but it's a simple choice. I'm just gonna choose that path, because here's what I want you to hear, that maybe, you know, I always give us the big three. Always talk about our money, always talk about our health, right? And I really always talk about our relationships. And so maybe if you're going down this path and you need your finances to get better because you're saying, I'm going to follow God because I need my finances to get better. I know that this other way has not worked. Well, maybe they will or maybe they will not, but yet you're still going to follow God, right? Maybe my health is going to get better because it certainly hasn't worked this way. Well, maybe it will or maybe it will not, but you're still going to follow God. Maybe my relationships will get better because the way I've been living, they're certainly not. But even if they do or if they do not, I'm still going to follow God. Because what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did, I want you to process this just for a second. They didn't expect not to be burned up. They expected to die. They expected to hurt. They expected to have a miserable, horrible death. But they were doing it because they were following God. They didn't know they were going to be saved. They didn't know they weren't going to get burned, right? And just imagine I'm chuckling and it's really not funny and you're like, you have a very sick sense of humor. I mean, imagine if you're Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, if you're one of them and two or three guys are holding on to you, whether you're struggling and fighting to go in or not, right? I mean, you may say, I'm going to follow God, but the hotter it gets, the more you may be like, oh my gosh, this is going to be terrible, and you're fighting, and then they burst into flames. Can you imagine what you're feeling at that point? And yet you're saying, I'm still going. I don't expect it to get better, but maybe it will. But I do expect God to save me, however that looks. That's where we're at today, in the struggle where there's persuasion. Because here's the first thing, in the struggle, there is a promise. And the promise is this, he may or may not save you from the fire. And I don't mean eternal fire. He is going to save you from eternal damnation in what we call the pit of hell, the pit of fire, the fiery pit, right, all the different names. But he's going to walk through you with those troubles. He's going to be in there with you, and he's going to protect you from it. Doesn't mean it's not going to be hard. Right? How many of y'all want to sign up? Don't you wish you had the Staples easy button for everything? I mean, I'm not kidding. I really wish I did. I really wish you could just say, I don't want to do this. You hit the easy button and it was just, you know, a free pass. You still got to do it, but it was still easy, because sometimes the way to follow God is going to be the harder way. It's the better way, but it might be more challenging. See, you expected the miracle outside the fire. Maybe the miracle is inside the fire. Maybe the miracle is in the midst of whatever the hard thing is, right? I have a friend that just told me that he and his wife had filed for divorce. And in the midst of that, he was telling me, after I think they've been married 19 years, he was just telling me how God was moving in both of their lives. I don't understand that. I mean, I would certainly encourage them not to get a divorce and to try to work through that just because of all the hurt and heartache. But God's working with them in the fire. Now, that is not me telling you right now to go file for divorce. Everybody say, I understand. You come talk to me first, right? It's not what I'm saying. But in the midst of that, where I went, no, I don't want that for you. He said, let me tell you how God's working. Right, and it might be in your other relationships. It might be in your job. It might be in your financial run. It might be in some really hard places in life. It might be with your family. It might be with some unbelieving friends or an unbelieving family member. It might be somebody that they're a Christian, but maybe they're a different denomination than you, and you have these struggles and you have these faith issues, right? That you want to argue over. Right? And see, all those things that in the midst of that, God is saying, I will be with you. You're not going to be destroyed, right? I'm just going to walk through these times with you. Because that's what Nebuchadnezzar couldn't understand. He goes, no, if you're in the fire, you should die and you should suffer and it should be hurt and it should be heartache and it should be ruin. God's going, no, it should be refining and it should be your betterment. And it should be, you know, might be some scars, and there's going to be some lessons, but I'm going to be there with you. See, you expected a miracle outside the fire, but really sometimes the miracle is inside the fire. See, Paul had, if you go to the Apostle Paul, he had some affliction. You know, he called it a thorn in the flesh. Everybody has a different idea of what this might be. It could have been it could have been scar tissue. It could have been an actual something inside of him that he couldn't get out. It could have been a disease. It could have been, I mean, there could be a thousand things. But listen to what he said. He said, concerning this, I implored the Lord three times that it might leave me. Three times. I promise you, I've asked more than three times. Right? And you're like, I don't want to do this. I don't want to do this. And he has said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I'd rather boast about my weakness so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Therefore, I am well content with my weakness, good for Paul, with insults, distresses, and persecutions, with difficulties, for Christ's sake, for when I am weak, then I am strong. See, he's talking about going through the fire. He's talking about you're going to have to endure some things in life. You're going to have to maybe endure where you didn't plan on going. You're going to have to endure answering for things you didn't think you would have to answer for. You're going to have to endure these things. But when you rely on God, right, then you become stronger. I just can't tell you. This is not in today's teaching. I'm just sitting here thinking about it the whole time I'm teaching this. This has been the most humbling experience of my entire 55 years of life. Because once this happened, I can't even carry a cup of coffee. Right? And we're packing to move towns, and I can't do anything. Right? People are coming to my house, friends that I'm paying very well, by the way. And some of you are like, you're paying? No. Family, right? Neighbors, packing boxes and doing those things. I mean, Jeffers is making a lot of fun of me because I have a shower chair in my shower. Oh my gosh! It's just like, I don't know who I said it to. I think I just said it. I don't even know. I said, every time I see that shower chair, I feel like I'm 160. It's just like, what has happened? I'm supposed to be jumping off of, you know, 12-foot cliffs on my mountain bike, and I'm supposed to be running, and I'm supposed to be still doing Tough Mudders, and I'm supposed to be at least be able to carry a cup of coffee. And yet, when I am weak, Christ becomes strong in me, right? And I'm not doing well with that, by the way, and I don't know how you see that, and I don't know how you'll work through that in your own life, but that's what he's saying. And this is about real struggle. This is nothing compared to what Paul was going through. This is nothing compared to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. This is nothing compared to what we may have to go through in the struggle of a promise, because we find out in the struggle of a promise, then there's protection. In the struggle, there's protection. See, when Nebuchadnezzar threw them into the fire, all of a sudden there was protection because the chains of that those men were bound by, they disappeared. You can say the fire burned them off, but if you say the fire burned them off, then how did the fire not burn their clothes? How did the fire not burn their skin? See, I think God removed them himself and said, be free in the struggle. Be free in your faithfulness in the struggle. Be free because you chose me. I'll take it from here. Right? How great is that? And just think about this. I still want to go back to the fire for just a minute, because how many of you, like at home, if you have a fireplace, or if you go camping and there's a campfire, or if you go back to high school maybe, or if you go back to going to tech, or if you've been down to A&M to the bonfire, right, that you get close and there's only a certain amount of time you can spend next to a real fire, right, before it really starts to burn. How about, you could even do this. How many of you grew up with the grandparents, or maybe in your own house, you had the wall furnace, right? Hallelujah. Who had the wall furnace? Who had the open flame in your bathroom? Who thought that was a good idea? Yeah, exactly. With bath towels and everything else. Yeah, and you loved backing up to that. Oh, I remember going to my grandparents' house, and we'd come in from tromping cotton. How old am I? Who's tromped cotton? Please. Yes. You come in, you're freezing cold, and you take off your coat and your coveralls, and you get close to that furnace, and then all of a sudden, when you move, your jeans touch the back of your leg, and you're like, oh my gosh, that's so hot. Imagine this. Imagine just for a second maybe what that could have felt like. See, for 10 seconds standing next to a fire, you smell like smoke. For the time that they went through the fire, they glowed like the eternal God. They had that Shekinah glory. I know it doesn't say that they did, but just think about that. Whatever they went through and they came out on the other side, even Nebuchadnezzar, they knew it. And they didn't even smell like smoke when they came out, according to Scripture, because it didn't say it. Because the Lord got involved. They went through the hard times. Ephesians 3, 14 through 21 says this, "For this reason I bow my knees before the Father, not anything else, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner man, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints the breadth and the length and the height and the depth." Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they didn't know Jesus, but they knew this idea of the breadth, the length, the height, and the depth of the glory of God. "And to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with the fullness of fire," the fullness of God. See, when you walk through the fire and you have this fullness, then the chains break. Satan, something changes about your relationship in the world and with Satan as he looks at you when you're willing to walk through the fire. You know how the world sees us as Christians, and sometimes they go, "I just don't understand those people. I mean, they're crazy." And when Satan sees us and says that we're willing to walk through the fire because God is with us, he goes, "You are crazy." You're going to laugh at this. I just thought of it. I mean, Satan's trying to get out of the fire. Why in the world would we go walk through it? But yet, that's what God calls us to sometimes, because the chains break. And according to the promises of God, he will walk through and protect us. The furnace, which looked like the end of their lives, turned out to be the beginning of a new journey with God and a new faith in other people. What they thought was the end was a new beginning. Ephesians 3:20, "Now him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond more than we ask or think, according to the power and the riches and the works that are within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever." Who was the fourth man? Gosh, I hope you figured it out. Yeah, it's Jesus. It's the Spirit of God. It really is the Shekinah glory, the presence of God in the midst of some place that we would never think that He was. How does that work? Looks and appearance like the Son of the gods. The text doesn't say it was Jesus, but I wonder if it truly, truly, truly was Jesus. Is it God's Spirit? Was it the Son? Was it the third person of the Trinity? It was God. And He sat there and with walking around in the furnace. Think about your scared child when they have a nightmare. And how many times have you held them and you walked around your house and you said, "See, everything is okay." Or you had them look under the bed. That monster is not there. You opened the closet and you turned on the light and you said, "See, everything is okay. There's nothing here. There's nothing in the dark that's not here in the light," right? And what does it say? It says that they were walking around in the furnace with the fourth man. It's like God was walking them around saying, "Hey, look, this is fine. This is okay. I am with you. And look, you're not burned. It's a little hot in here, but you're okay." And you had to struggle to get to this place, and you had to make a hard decision, but you were faithful and you were true. I wonder if for all the centuries of people that have faced suffering and persecution, if now when they receive their eternal reward, they're going, "Yeah, that wasn't so bad. It wasn't so bad." And I know hindsight is always 20/20. But think about this. I bet they poured out their gratitude, their adoration, their worship to God. I mean, there's no way that they couldn't, right? Let's go back to your child as you're walking them around the house, right? And you're putting them back to bed and you're doing all of those things. And as you do, they rest their head on your shoulder. Right? Or when you lay them down, they grab their teddy bear or their rabbit or their whatever it is, and they snuggle back up and they're comfortable and they're peaceful and they go back to sleep. See, that's what all this is about. Is Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they, in my words, in the midst of all that, in the midst of the struggle and God's reassurance, and he was there with them in the fire, that they gave thanks to Him. And I know it sounds silly, but they snuggled back up to God. And He said, "It's going to be okay." See, Jesus is working in your life right now, regardless of what's happening. He's saying, "It's going to be okay." He didn't say it wasn't going to be hard. He just said, "It's going to be okay." Romans 8:28. You've heard all of these. I even thought about leaving them out because sometimes we overuse them. But Romans 8:28. Will, you can come on up. I see you standing over there. "All things work together for the good of those who are called to serve Him and love Him." Right, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. "I will not bow down to any other god. I'm going to serve the one true God." And all things worked out. Acts 2:38. "Repent, each of you. Be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." They didn't know that yet. They just know they needed to bow down to God and only God. And yet, who was there with them? The Spirit of God. Romans 10:13. "Everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved." They did, and they were. "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they will follow me, and I give eternal life to them, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand." Nebuchadnezzar didn't know the voice of God. He didn't even know the image of God. He didn't know any of that, but those three guys did, right? And as they went and as they followed Him into the fire, God didn't call them into that fire, by the way. That was just the choice that they had. But yet, as they did, "Surely I am with you always." Remember, God said that. "Surely I am with you always," through Jesus Christ, saying to His disciples, "I am with you always till the end of the age." In the fire, outside the fire, good days, bad days, Thanksgiving, whatever. I'm always with you. And then I want to end with this. This is out of Peter 5, verse 10. "And the God of all grace," big G God, not Nebuchadnezzar's little G, "the God of all grace, who called you to His eternal glory in Christ, and after you have suffered a little while, will Himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast." Right? I don't know where you're at today, but this day is yours. I started today by saying, let's not focus on tomorrow, let's focus on today. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, all they had to focus on was that fire. Whatever was going on, that's what they had to focus on. That's all you have to focus on today. Daniel had his day, Stephen had his day, Peter had his day, Paul had his day. I have my day. Dallas has his day. I'm looking around here. Stephen has his day. Linda has her day. Mark, right? Robert, every one of them. We all have our day. And yet God is faithful. And I don't know what it means for you today, right? He just says, I'm going to let you pass through the furnace. They won't burn you. They won't destroy you. They won't consume you, right? And maybe, even right now, whatever's going on, he says, but I'll meet you. I'll meet you in the furnace. I hope that you'll be looking for him whenever those flames rise up. And that he will just show you around and say, it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. Let's pray. Lord, as we are here, I can see some families in this room that I know are going through things. And Lord, there's some little flames going on. And there are some really big conflagrations. There are some bonfires going on in the lives of families. And Lord, I pray right now, Lord, that they would stop trying to fight the flames. They would stop trying to fight the situation. Lord, that they would just turn and look to you. Lord, that they would call upon you in your holy name. Lord, in faithfulness, to just follow you and say, Lord, here I am. I didn't bow down. I didn't choose the easy way. I went through the eye of the needle as you have asked me to do, and Lord, I'm going to trust in you. And so, Lord, I just pray that we would see you in the flames. Lord, I pray for students right now that are taking finals and they're winding down their semester, and Lord, there's just so many things going on, Lord, that Lord, whatever the peer pressures are in their life, Lord, whatever the relationships are in their life, Lord, that you would just show them, you would just reveal yourself to them and tell them, just follow me, just be with me, and I will take care of you. Father, for marriages, Lord, the very same thing. Lord, those flames can get really big sometimes. It can get really hot. Lord, and I just ask that you would just take them in under your wing, Lord, and that you would protect them, Lord, and that you would comfort them and you would show them, Lord, to be faithful. And then, Lord, I pray for our church, Lord, just always, as I always have, Lord, that you would just continue to show us your way. Lord, that's our cry. Lord, that's our song. Lord, that's our prayer. In Jesus' name, all the people say, amen. Amen. Would you stand and let's close in worship. And just as we do, what is our last song today? Oh, yes and amen. Whatever you think God has been talking to you about in your life, I just want you to hear the yes and the amen. Now, by the way, the yes and the amen is to God's will. It's the direction for your life. Maybe that you're not going to win the lottery this Tuesday, right? And if you do, I'm going to be looking for your pledge card. Some of y'all will get that later.
So be it.
And it may not be that everything works out your way, but it is going to work out God's way. And it is the yes and the amen to following him. Maybe through the flames, but he will be there.
Thanks for listening to the St. Luke's Lubbock Sermon Podcast. For more information, you can find us on the web at stlukeslubbock.org. That's stlukeslubbock.org.